Good morning. Sometimes it's good to remember that there are people in the world who are suffering. And I don't mean no air conditioning for the week. I mean, you know, that would be suffering, no doubt. But because we don't have air in the back half of the building, in case you notice, it's a little warm in here. But not that kind of suffering. That there are people legitimately laying down their lives for their faith. And so just pray for them today. So we're going to continue wrap up our series this month on Immerse. To live in awe is what we've been talking about all year and we'll continue talking about. But we've been talking about Immerse. And we've asked a lot of questions this month, right? Why dipped? Why drink? Why deeper, I think? And why... I can't remember the last week, whatever it was. You know what they are, hopefully. And then today we're talking about why dunk? Why dunk? Because we're going to learn about baptism. Ron told me, though, the spelled autocorrect changed it to why drunk. So, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about why dunk, not why drunk. And we're going to talk about why it is we practice baptism the way that we practice it. Could somebody, do you have a chair, Taya, if you need it to sit down? Okay. I just want to make sure you don't have to stand because he's a load. I know. we're going to talk about why dunk. First of all, let's look at what does baptism actually mean. When you see the word baptism in the Bible, what does it mean? The Greek word, I talked about this last year. Some of you might remember, but the word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. And what it means is total immersion. It means to be dipped and dyed. That's what it means, to be dipped and dyed, D-Y-E-D, D-Y-E-D, to be dipped and dyed. So we dunk, when we baptize people, we dunk because that's the way it was done in the Bible. Total immersion. We believe it is a decision made by someone old enough to understand what it means. And I've seen 4-year-olds who understand it enough to explain it. And I've seen older people too, obviously. So it's anybody. It's interesting. The process of baptism, I think Ron pointed this out when he spoke, comes from the Jewish concept of mikvah. And that means to be dipped in purifying waters. And it's usually done at conversion into a belief system. But it's also done for purification purposes. But I learned this week that whenever, and even now, if there's a group of people who want to build a Jewish temple, the mikveh has to be built and made before the temple can even be built. There's so much priority placed on it. So when we hear about John the Baptist baptizing people, this was part of their culture. That was just part of what they did. So when people came to him to get baptized, they were like, okay, I'm converting into a new way of thinking. So dip me and dye me, right? Here's what we don't believe. I didn't put this in the notes, but here's what we don't believe about baptism. We don't believe that baptism equals salvation. That's not the way it works. Salvation and then baptism. We'll talk about what it means in a minute too. But what it doesn't mean is we don't believe in infant or child, little baby baptism. We don't believe in that. We believe in baby dedications, but that's a decision made by the parents to train a child up in the way they should go. We don't sprinkle babies or put water on their heads because baptism is a decision here and they're not old enough to make that decision. That's how we believe. We don't believe it's necessary for church membership. We encourage it, but it's not equal to church membership. It's not a way to get points from God or from ORC. You know, oh, I got baptized, so that should put me up one level. No, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. And we also don't believe that baptism is the end of the story. Oh, I got baptized, so we're done. No, it's actually the beginning. So what does it mean and why does it matter? Point two, why does it matter? Point A, under point two, because Jesus told us to get baptized. It's pretty simple, actually. I just try to live my life in a way that whatever Jesus told me to do, I'm going to do. In Matthew 28:18-20, in the International Children's Bible, it says this, then Jesus came to them, his disciples, and said, "All power in heaven and on earth is given to me, so go and make followers of all people in the world. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything that I have told you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue with you until the end of the world." It's really that simple. It's really that simple. Jesus told us to, so we believe in doing it. Okay? But it also matters because point B, baptism is a burial. It's a burial. Okay? Max and Taya had something funny happen this week. Well, maybe not so funny, but Max and went out to check the chicken coop and kind of close it up for the night. And he took his dog Cato with him because Cato's become kind of a good hunter and he protects the chickens. So that's a good thing, right? And so Cato, he took out a raccoon a couple weeks ago and Max was like, "Good job, way to go," because the raccoon was bothering the chickens. And so Max and Cato went out to the coop. And there was a possum, and Cato was on it immediately. He took that thing, and he picked it up by the back of the neck, and he shook it, and the possum fell down dead. And Max was like, "Yeah, I'll deal with you. I'll bury you tomorrow. I'll bury you tomorrow." And Max said, "The thing was on its side, the tongue was hanging out, and its right leg twitched." So he was convinced. It was a goner, right? But you've heard of the phrase playing possum, right? So we were talking about it Wednesday night at family night, and Taya goes, "You know, I didn't see that possum this morning when I went to open the chicken coop." And we're like, Max goes, "No way, no way. He was twitching. He definitely was dead. His tongue was hanging out. There is no way. He was not breathing. I looked and there was no movement on his chest. He was gone," right? Taya goes, "I don't know." So this possum happened to be stealing eggs. He doesn't bother the chickens, but he likes the eggs. But the next morning, there were eggs broken and eaten. And there was no evidence of possum. So they went back that night or the next morning, he's gone. Because I kind of was convinced that maybe something came and dragged it away, right? And they go, "No, eggs are still getting bothered." And I laughed and not when I heard about that. But then I thought, I wonder how many of us play possum with God. We lay down, we twitch. We hang our tongues out and we go, "We're dead, we're dead, we're dead. The old me is dead." But the moment no one is around, we're up and at 'em. So baptism is a burial. Because if he had buried that thing, he would have discovered, first of all, it wasn't really dead, but then he would have made it dead. He had the means to make it dead. And then he would have buried it. And baptism is a burial. It's not just a death. It's a burial. But good news is, point C, baptism is also a resurrection. Because we don't leave you under the water, y'all. We dip you and dye you and bring you up. We find this in Romans 6, 1 through 3, where it says in the Message translation, "So what do we do? Do we keep on sinning so God can keep on forgiving? I should hope not. If we've left the country where sin is sovereign, how can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize that we packed up and left there for good? That is what happened in baptism. When we went under the water, we left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it is like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country." You see, I just want to clarify. I don't think that means that once you're baptized, you never sin again. I wish it were so. I'm saying that is no longer your natural bend or desire. And you come up to a new way. So when you're baptized, you're dying to living for yourself, and you're being raised to live in the Spirit for God. And so when you do sin, because you will, you feel sadness over it, and then you move right away to repentance. Oh, that's the old me. I'm sorry. I don't want to live like that. I want to live in the new life, okay? And that brings us, I love that Jesus, after he was raised from the dead, you could still see his scars. He had a choice. He could have gotten rid of his scars when he was risen. He could have done it. So why? Why did he leave his scars? Just so Thomas could touch him? I don't think so. I think that was part of it. I think it was because those scars show us the depth of his love for us. And I think when we go under the water at baptism, don't think your scars are going to disappear. They're going to be redeemed for God's purposes. And people are going to look at you and go, wow, God must love you and you must love God. Because I know what that scar represents. It's not going to be gone. It's going to be evidence of a new life. It's going to be evidence that God is in charge and you're no longer living for self. You're living for someone higher, someone greater. Oh. I think in a couple of weeks, it'll be 17 years I've been your pastor. Yeah, I can't believe it. It's gone by so fast. It's really gone by fast. And even before that, long before that, when I was in ministry with my then husband, and before that with my dad in ministry, I saw people all the time, and I was this person many times, that I had been buried and I had been raised, but I kept forgetting I was living by the Spirit. I kept going to what I wanted. Well, this is what I think is best. This is what I think I should do. This is what's best for me. This is what's going to make me look good. Like the possum laying there pretending to be dead. It's the same concept. And God doesn't want us to pretend. I don't know why it's such a natural thing in human beings to become performative. Do you know what I mean by that? Oh, if God wants me to get baptized, I'll get baptized, because then maybe others will think I'm better. Maybe I'll think I'm better. Maybe God will think I'm better. It just becomes performative. That's why God says, no, I want to bury the old you, and I want to bring up a new you. I want to put you down in the water and bring you up so that you'll never forget you're living by the Spirit now, not by what makes you look good, not by what you think makes God look good, because you're responding to his great love for you. You're responding to his scars, and you're going, I'm willing to be crucified with you and come up new. I'm willing for that. Because point D, why else does it matter? Because baptism is the commissioning of a new life. Continuing in the same passage in verses 6 through 11, Paul says, could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer captive to sin's demands. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. I like the way that's worded. It was a signal of the end of death as an end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, this is what the resurrection accomplishes. He brings God down to us. So the cross was that he took sin out. But when he rose from the grave, he rose and he goes, okay, now God is down to you. God comes down to you. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. You see, if we're Christians, if we have made the decision to follow Jesus, the question should never be, ever, what can I do to get away with and still be a Christian? If that's the question, that is the wrong starting point. Because that's gratifying self every time. And listen, I'm right there with you. I do it. And I regret it when I do. But I'm saying, let's aim for something higher together. Let's aim for something higher instead of saying, well, I can still do this and be a Christian. Because grace, y'all. That's what Paul is dealing with right here. Paul is saying, no, that's a dead language you're living right now. You're not living in that world. You are brought up out of the water, living a new life. So what should the question be? God, what do you want? God wants his kids to be happy. No scripture for that. Not a single one. Now, I believe as a loving father, it pleases him when we are happy, if we're happy for the right reasons, if we're living in his ways and living fulfilled and with purpose for him. Yes, of course he's happy that we're happy. Of course. But that's not his goal. Well, I just know God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to do this thing that he says is wrong in his word because I want to be happy and I know he wants me. He's a good father. Yes, he is a good father. He's better than that, actually. He's better than that. He can see things that we can't see. And we can trust him to put safeguards in our lives. We can trust him. And so the question is, God, what do you want out of this? What do you want out of this situation? How do you want me to see you in this situation? What do you want to teach me about myself in this situation? It's all God-centered instead of narcissistic, instead of self-centered. But it takes practice. It takes a lot of practice, and I'm still practicing. And sometimes I get it right, and sometimes I get it wrong. Romans 6, 12 through 14 says this, that means you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. And you know what I'm talking about. There are things that we do that we know is going to lead us to the wrong place. In our mind, in our heart, or in our environment. And when we do that, we're basically running little errands that are connected with the old way of life. Then he says, throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember, you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. This new life doesn't make excuses from departing from God's ways. This new life acknowledges failures quickly and responds. Do you know how much freedom there is? I called my sister a couple weeks ago and I go, Susan, I need you to pray for me. And she said, why? And I said, well, because this is going on and I know that it doesn't please God. I have bitterness in my heart about this situation and I need help. But I acknowledge my sin in this. I acknowledge. And then I had another situation. I said, God is correcting me in this way too. And I told her very specifically what it was. You cannot believe the freedom that happened in my heart in the speaking forth of the truth. And she is so loving. She's like, well, Sandy, of course you're feeling a little bitter about that. That makes sense. And I go, I know, but it's wrong. I don't want to make excuses for it. You see, there is freedom in confession. Makes me want to set up a little confessional booth up here. I mean, there is so much freedom in just admitting I messed up. It goes from being this big to this big. But listen, it doesn't mean we get trapped in the paralyzing shame cycle either. Because the moment I spoke that to my sister and she said, I will pray for you. And I said, thank you. I'm telling you, there was not 1 ounce of shame attached to it. I didn't walk away from that conversation going, what a crumb. You're a crumb. How could you be so bad? You're a pastor. What's wrong with you? I didn't do that. I was like, well, that's done. I have repented. I have gotten forgiveness from the Lord. I have admitted my sin to someone else so that I can be held accountable. And she called me a few days later. How's it going? I go, it's going good. I'm free. You know, there's no shame cycle. Keeping it in is what creates a shame cycle. Oh, I'll do better next time. I won't do that again. I'll do better next time. Nope. That is not going to work. You're just going around the mulberry bush, as they say. You're just going in that cycle of shame and guilt and try harder and shame, mess up, shame and guilt and try harder, mess up. It's a vicious cycle. That's why God says, no, I invite you to die. And then come up. I read a book a long time ago. Rhonda recommended it by Fenelon. Is it called Surrender? I can't remember. It's about this big, but I had to read one page, and it's little. It's a little book, but it's such a deep, deep reading. It's so good. But he said in that book, he said, it was actually a series of letters he wrote to a friend who was going through real bad suffering. I would recommend it. On one of the pages, it said, if you're still fighting under the knife of God's hand, you're not dead yet. And I can't tell you how many times that's helped me, because I'll get into a situation and I'll be like, oh, I don't like this. Oh, I don't like the way this feels. Oh. And I'm fighting. And he's wanting to go, stop. Stop fighting. I know what I'm doing. I know what needs to be removed. I know what needs to be trained. I know what needs to be corrected. Just stop fighting against it. This new life, you embrace God's free gift, not based on works. It's all Him. All we do is receive and surrender. But it's all Him who does it. In a new life, you regularly experience God's pleasure over you. You regularly feel that. Imagine, close your eyes and imagine God's face. What is it looking like right now? If it's anything but a smile, find out why. This week, there was this moment and I was worshiping and I just felt God's smile over me. I felt His pleasure over me. In this new life, we hunger and thirst to know God more intimately. I want to know Him more. Almost every day I say, God, I want to know You more. I want to see Your face. I want to hear Your voice. I want my heart to accurately reflect Your character. Help me, Lord. Help me. And then I believe in the new life, you genuinely desire to reflect God truly to other people. But you got to know Him first before you can reflect Him well. So point three, what should I expect next week? Point A, we'll have a church picnic here in the building. So basically bring your own picnic lunch and drinks. We'll just scatter out in there in the foyer area where you can find a place to sit. We'll eat. You'll eat your sandwich that you brought. I'll eat my sandwich or salad, whatever you bring and eat. And then we'll head over to Solon Community Center together. And I will give you an address. Actually, it's on this paper that will be available after the service. This one that looks like this. And those who are getting baptized, point B, those who are getting baptized, I ask you to wear dark shorts and a dark t-shirt or tank, okay? And then be prepared to answer the following questions. Number one, I will ask you in front of everybody, why do you want to get baptized? I think it's really good for you to have an answer. Why do you want to get baptized? And it can be something as simple as, because I'm all in for Jesus. It could be something more elaborate. I'm ready to die and be raised up. It can be whatever comes to your heart between now and Sunday. Why do you want to get baptized? There's something powerful. Why do you do that, Sandy? Because there's something powerful about you proclaiming your testimony. It's something that happens inside of you that solidifies it. It's not a secret thing. It's not like, yeah, I asked Jesus in my heart. It doesn't have to be like that. I know you've been taught your whole life. Don't talk about two things. What are they? Religion and politics. Well, this ain't religion. It's a relationship with Jesus. So it's good to proclaim your faith. It's very good. It strengthens your faith. Number two, do you renounce all sin and the devil from this day forward? And what I mean by that is, are you ready to let sin be put to death in your life and not partner with the devil? That's what it's about, right? Number three, do you agree to partner with God from this day forward? Number four, I will say, and Ron is helping me as one of our ministers, one of us will say, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then you'll go under the water. You can either plug your nose or not plug your nose, whatever you want to do, but it's an act of surrender. So that's why we go backwards. I will say that. If you're not comfortable going backwards for some reason, you can just dunk yourself. Just go all the way under the water. It's all good. I think Sammy did that last year. It was cute. Yeah, I loved it. And then last year we added something that we've never done before, but I want to do it again. We're going to anoint you with oil. All the people who get baptized will anoint you with oil because we're commissioning you into your new life. We're saying, here's the oil of the Holy Spirit. Now go and live the new life. Not the old life. Go and live the new life. Okay? And then it's always a celebration. It's always a whoo, whoo, whoo. People are clapping and because it's a joyful celebration. So that's what you should expect. So all of that is on this page. But if you want to get baptized, I either need you to fill out this form today and leave it with me or text me. I think that number is on the announcement slide about baptism, isn't it? Okay. So you can text me and say, I want to get baptized. So far, I think we have two getting baptized, but I think it's going to be more than that. So if you want to get baptized, if you want to talk to me more about it after church, come and talk to me. I'll share my heart with you about it. I've tried to explain what it means and why we do it and why it matters. But I encourage you to let me know if you want to get baptized. You can text me up until Saturday night as far as I'm concerned. But my Do Not Disturb comes on at 9 p.m., just FYI. So I won't get it till the next morning. So just let me know if you want to get baptized. Okay? Any questions now? No? Okay. So what does baptism mean? Total immersion, to be dipped and dyed. Why does it matter? Because Jesus told us to get baptized, because baptism is a burial, because baptism is also a resurrection, because baptism is a commissioning of a new life, a new way of living. What should I expect? I've gone over that, and the papers are up here. Thank you, God, for those that you are moving on right now in their heart to get baptized. And maybe they've been a believer for a long time, or maybe they've been a believer for a short time, but you are moving on their heart right now in this moment. that this is the step they need to take next. So I just pray that you would help them to surrender to your better ways, to your beautiful ways. Lord, I've never been sorry when I followed you, but I've always been sorry when I followed my own self. So thank you for what you're doing in our midst at Oak River. Thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. And I pray a blessing over the offering, both the tithes and the next gen offering. I pray that you would multiply it for your purposes, for your kingdom, for your glory, for your goodness to shine brighter through our little church body here. And that we would be a blessing to those who are in need, in spreading the gospel and helping those who are less fortunate. I pray that our little soldier dollars would go well towards those ministries. And I thank you that we can do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So maybe I could get a couple of volunteers to have these standing at the back. Anybody want to help? Isaac? Okay, thanks. And Adam, you could help him if you want, or you don't have to. It's up to you. Totally up to you. Okay, so next week, water baptism. We're starting a new series next week called Our Advantage. Our Advantage. It's going to be all about the Holy Spirit, the work. I think that God arranged it perfectly for us to talk about immersion for the whole month of July, because all next month is all about the Holy Spirit and what that looks like, Holy Spirit living. And Ron's going to kick it off with a message he's calling Convincer, but not Accuser. It's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. Enjoy chats, coffee, snacks, puzzles, whatever. There's good fruit out there today. Cheese sticks, bagels, cream cheese. Let go. That's what it's called by Fenelon. Fenelon is F-E-N-E-L-O-N. Let go. Thank you. Let go. I would highly recommend it. Love you guys. Have a great week.